The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll start today's program with an article from Catster.com titled, Nine Interesting Facts About Cat Paws by Marilyn Krieger. Cat paws help our feline friends hunt and groom. But did you also know that cat paws are also super sensitive shock absorbers that aid in cat sweating? Cat paws are amazing. Spend a few moments examining your cat's paw pads, especially the front ones. In addition to being colorful and cute, they are versatile and have serious jobs to do that increases the odds of survival. Cat paws function as communication systems, environmental sensors, and hunting and grooming tools. They are also shock absorbers and help regulate body temperature. Here are some interesting facts about cat paws. Number one, cats have dominant paws. Did you know that your cat may have a dominant front paw? Although studies differ as far as the percentages of cats who are right, left, or ambidextrous, they all agree that felines do have paw preferences, especially when they are performing challenging tasks. One study conducted by Queen's University in Ireland correlates gender with paw dominance. Their data shows that male cats prefer to use their right paw, whereas females go with the left. You can find out which paw your cat prefers by giving her difficult tasks, such as fishing yummy treats out of hard-to-reach places. In order to get the most accurate reading on the cat's paws in question, the task needs to be replicated at least 75 times. Your cats will probably be eager to help. 2. Cats walk tiptoed. Cats are digitigrade, which means they navigate through the world on tippy toes. It's about survival and a good meal. Walking and running on toes ups the odds of having a successful hunt by boosting speed and lengthening the strides. Cats are also quieter on their toes, making it harder for prey to detect them. Number 3. Cat paws are sensitive. There's a reason why most cats object to those adorable cat paws being rubbed and fiddled with. Those little cat paw pads are extremely sensitive. They contain large concentrations of nerve receptors, making them finely tuned sensory organs that aid in hunting and maintaining balance. Because of these receptors, cats feel texture, pressure, and possibly vibrations through their paw pads, helping them evaluate the liveliness and close proximity of their prey. Sensitivity comes at a cost. Although cat paw pads are strong enough to protect cats against some environmental damage, they are very sensitive to temperature, pressure, and pain. The soft pads are not insulated and can be severely injured by hot pavements, frozen sidewalks, and ragged surfaces. 4. Cat paws are flexible. Cat paws are incredibly flexible. The ability to bend and turn helps felines climb and hunt. One of the reasons cats are so adept at climbing up trees is because their front paws are designed to turn inward in order to sink claws into branches. This helps them maintain stability as well as put them up and around branches. Although this is handy for climbing up trees, it doesn't help with the descent. Cats back down trees because their front claws face in the wrong direction for a head-first downward climb. Additionally, front legs and paws are weaker than their more muscular back legs. This is why cats sometimes get stuck up in trees. 5. Cat paws act as shock absorbers. Another job that cat paws excel at is acting as shock and sound absorbers. Paw pads cushion and soften landings when cats jump and when they walk on rough ground. They also help cats move and hunt silently. 6. Cat paws help with grooming. Cat paws and forelegs are perfect little grooming tools, helping cats clean those hard-to-reach areas behind ears, under chins, on necks and faces. They accomplish this by first licking their paws several times and then wiping it on those areas that they can't directly lick. Usually after a paw swipe, they pause to lick and moisten their paws again and repeat the process. Kittens typically begin grooming with their front paws before they're 4 weeks old. Cat paws help a kitty sweat. Cat paws help cats sweat. This cooling system helps keep cats from overheating on hot days. Frightened, stressed cats also sweat from the bottoms of their paws. The next time you take your cat to the veterinarian, watch for her little footprints on the examining table. Most likely, she's not having a good time. 8. Cat paws are used to communicate. One of the many reasons cats scratch objects is to mark their territories and broadcast information about themselves. In addition to the visual evidence, pheromones are deposited on scratch surfaces from scent glands that are located between the paw pads. This scent is packed with information about the scratcher. Even paw pads on the hind feet have scent glands. Cats sometimes scrape areas after they've urinated or sprayed. 9. Cat paw colors vary. Paw pads come in colors that match the rest of the cat's color scheme. Cats who sport gray fur usually have gray paw pads. Those who are orange have matching pink little ones. Tuxedo cats often come equipped with black spots on their paw pads. The pigments that make up the fur are the same the color as the skin. Bottom line on cat paws. You may never look at cat paws the same way again. Typical of other feline characteristics and behaviors, cat paws are multifunctional, all with the sole purpose of increasing the odds of survival. We'll move on to another article about cat behavior, about why do cats purr? Cat purrs don't always mean your kitty is happy. Why do cats purr? By Marilyn Krieger. Let's look at how cats purr and find out why cat purring doesn't always mean a cat is content. It could signal something serious. Cats are evolutionary masterpieces of design. They have evolved in such a way that many of their characteristics, including behaviors, are multifunctional, helping to increase the odds of survival. Cat scratching marks territories. It communicates conflicted feelings and it maintains nail health. Cat whiskers feel wind directions, broadcast moods, and help cats navigate. What about cat purring? Why do cats purr and what does it mean when a cat purrs? Let's find out. First, how do cats purr? Before we answer why do cats purr, let's talk about how cats purr. There are a few theories about how cats purr. The one that stands up the strongest states that cat purrs are produced through a combination of the laryngeal and diaphragmatic muscles along with a neural oscillator. This theory makes sense because when cats suffer from laryngeal paralysis, they cannot purr. A second theory claims that the small hyoid bone is responsible for cat purrs. The hyoid bone is located between the skull and the larynx. Another theory states that purrs initiate from the central nervous system. So why do cats purr? Let's look at some reasons. Why do cats purr? Newborn kittens and their moms purr to stay safe. Purring is vital for the survival of newborn kittens. The little ones are welcomed into the world by the soft vibrations of their mom's purr. They are born deaf and blind, but they do feel vibrations. These sweet vibrations are perfect homing devices, guiding newborns to the protective warmth of mom's body and their first meals. Kittens start communicating back to mom and their siblings through purrs. They start purring when they are 2 days old. When kittens nurse, they cannot meow, so they show their contentment by purring. Mom purrs back comfort and safety. There's another way primal purring ups the odds for survival. Cat purring helps keep neonates safe from predators. Hungry predators are more likely to detect cries and other vocalizations than the vibrations of purrs. Cats purr when they're giving birth. In addition to benefiting kittens, purring helps the mothers in other ways. New moms are vulnerable and cannot defend themselves when they are giving birth. Painful cries attack danger. Instead of crying, they purr. Purring releases endorphins, reducing pain while simultaneously reassuring the newborns without luring unwanted visitors. Cats purr when they want attention. Another answer to why do cats purr? Cat parents are familiar with the relaxing purrs of cats as they cuddle and stroke them. These little purr machines exude contentment and the added benefit of lifting the moods of the people who adore them while lowering their blood pressure. Many kitties quickly figure out another basic benefit of purring, soliciting food and attention from their favorite people. Since most cat parents lavish attention on their cats when they purr, cats often purr when they want affection and treats. Cats purr when they are stressed, in pain, or sick because cat purrs have healing powers. Not all answers to why do cats purr are positive or obvious. Cats purr when they are stressed, in pain, or severely ill. Often cats at the end of life will purr. Cats enter life and leave life on a purr. What makes a purr has tickled the curiosity of the scientific community for years. Study finds that purrs oscillate at a low frequency of 25 to 100 hertz. These frequencies promote bone healing and ease muscle pain. Clinical trials of people receiving ultrasound treatments have proven that low-frequency intensity ultrasound accelerates healing and fractures. Purrs reassure and soothe. They promote healing and reduce pain. There are also reports that cats heal faster than other animals that do not purr, and that purring releases endorphins. Endorphins reduce pain while healing takes place. Purring is the feline equivalent of expensive ultrasound treatments without medical bills. Cats purr for some low-key exercise. Another surprising answer to the question, why do cats purr? Cat purring is actually a form of kitty exercise. It's hard to imagine that relaxed purring cats are in the midst of low-intensity exercise sessions. Felines are experts at conserving their energy through naps and lounging. According to Dr. Leslie Lyons, world-renowned genetics researcher and professor at the University of Missouri College of Veterinary Medicine, the vibrations from purring may stimulate muscles and bones without the cat extending a lot of energy and effort. Something for you to think about the next time you cuddle with your little purr machine. Looks are deceiving. In reality, she might be heavily engaged in calisthenics. And FYI, cats do not have the monopoly on purring. Although our domestic cats are not the only animals who purr, the purrs are unique because they're the only ones who purr while they inhale and exhale. Not all members of the Felidae family technically purr, though. Lions, leopards, and tigers roar, but they do not purr. Cheetahs and cougars are examples of big cats who purr. Many other animals purr as well. The mechanisms that produce the purr vary between species, as do the meanings of their purrs. Gorillas, raccoons, rabbits, ring-tailed lemurs, tapirs, elephants, and hyenas are examples of other animals who purr. The bottom line on why do cats purr? Cat purrs are complex and powerful. They comfort cats and their people. Their vibrations heal, produce pain-relieving endorphins, and ensure the survival of newborn kittens. Next, we'll move on to an article titled The High Lawn Inn, Homeless Cats Come to West Virginia Bed and Breakfast by Kelly B. Gormley. Sandy Kaufman didn't expect feline residents at her bed and breakfast, the High Lawn Inn. But when cats kept showing up, she gave them a home. Sandy Kaufman didn't go out looking for a staff of feline residents at her bed and breakfast in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. The homeless cats just kept showing up at the doorstep of her High Lawn Inn and always at the perfect time. Every time a cat passes away, another one shows up within 2 weeks. It's just the most amazing thing, Sandy says. How do they know? Sandy, who lives with her husband, Tim Miller, on the third floor, says, basically, we've never met a cat we didn't like. About the High Lawn Inn. Today, the High Lawn Inn, located in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia, famous for its spas and mineral water, houses three roaming resident felines who charm the guests and often come up to their rooms for visits. Sandy and Tim didn't grow up with cats and knew nothing about them, but ever since buying the house 31 years ago, they've had up to 5 cats at one time living there. The High Lawn Cat Dynasty started many years ago when a black and white kitty showed up on Christmas Eve. Once they had that first cat, which they named Jackie, Sandy says they couldn't imagine ever living without one. Feline residents at the High Lawn Inn. After Jackie died, an orange tabby showed up, Peach. Then came along 2 tabbies, Goldie Kitty and Geronimo. Overall, the inn has hosted 9 cats. Today's cast of inn greeters are a black male named Blackie, a brown tabby male named NV, and a gray and white female named Little Girl. Staff members also feed feral cats outside, and Sandy keeps her own gray cat, Squawk, upstairs. Blackie is the most gregarious cat, and if you leave your door open, he'll probably come upstairs and visit you, and maybe he'll even stay overnight if you let him. Blackie also loves hunting and climbing trees outside. The inn owner's love for cats extends beyond the living felines in the house. If you step into the garden outside, you'll find a kitty graveyard, where Sandy has lovingly buried all the cats who have died over the years. Details cat lovers will appreciate. Guests, who often tell Sandy they choose High Lawn Inn because of the cats, will see evidence of the cat love all around the house. Outside, a cat-themed parking sign greets cats in the driveway. A jar by the entryway collects donations for the local Humane Society. Cat lovers staying at the High Lawn Inn will also appreciate the new nearby cat cafe, Give Purrs a Chance. High Lawn Inn's cozy downstairs living area has many cat cushions and ornaments, and just feels like a cozy little kitty retreat. I think cats really teach you how to chill out and relax, Sandy says. People ask for the cats by name. They obviously have adopted cats as part of the inn family. For more information, visit highlawninn.com. Next, we'll move on to Dogster Magazine with an article titled, Here Comes Howl-O-Ween. Put the treat back in trick-or-treat by creating a creepy canine holiday by Heather Marsh Coe. For grown-up goths and those with the usually hidden dark side, Halloween is the greatest holiday of the year. We get to dress up as whoever we please and eat candy guilt-free. What could be better? Well, ask any dog lover and they'll tell you. Even the best night of the year is better when you have a dog by your side. If a night without your dog sounds like a nightmare, here's how to turn Halloween into a canine-friendly affair. Plan a pup party. Celebrating the spooky night with a handful of your closest canine pals, and they're humans, of course, is a great way to get in the social feeling of the spirited holiday without taking your dog onto the streets overflowing with overstimulated trick-or-treaters. Kids on sugar can be scary for dogs, but a backyard filled with fur friends is always welcome. If you're planning to light jack-o'-lanterns, display them high enough that wagging tails won't knock them over, or better yet, swap the traditional tea light candles for a more pet-safe LED mini light. Stock your bash with treats for the pups and a trickle of wine for humans, and you'll be able to all be howling at the moon long before midnight. And here's a recipe that you could serve at your pup party. Spooky Peanut Butter Banana Dog Treats by Susan Rogers. 3 cups rolled oats, 2 bananas, 1 cup peanut butter, no salt, no sugar, no xylitol or preservatives. Place rolled oats in food processor and grind into flakes. In a bowl, beat together bananas and peanut butter until smooth with a mixer, then add oat flakes and mix well. If the dough is too dry, add more peanut butter. If it's too sticky, add more oat flakes. Roll out the dough on a floured surface to 1/4 inch thickness and cut out shapes using a mini cookie cutter, like a spooky cat, ghost, or pumpkin. Place cut shapes 2 inches apart on a greased cookie sheet. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit about 10 minutes until lightly browned. Cool on the baking rack and store in the refrigerator. If you want more recipes, games, and other pet party planning ideas, go to properlyposhpets.com. So back to our Halloween. You can curate chilling dog decor. They're kind of creepy and yet kind of cute. Plastic dog skeletons are a hot Halloween item for retailers in recent years, with Frontgate, Home Depot, Amazon, and other stores offering different styles and breeds. But beware, chew happy pups may find those plastic bones irresistible. So keep those decor items out of reach unless you want your chewer to go faux cannibal on his plastic counterpart. Make your own do-it-yourself decorations. If you believe plastic dog skeletons belong in veterinary schools and not your living room, use your DIY skills to make some less frightening dog designs. Pumpkins aren't just good for a dog's digestive system. They also make a pretty good canvas for a canine portrait. If you'd rather cut paper than pumpkins, breed-specific cookie cutters make a great stencil. Make a bunch of pooch-shaped cutouts on plain white paper, and you've got a pack of dog ghosts you can unleash along a length of ribbon or fix to walls or windows with double-sided tape. Use a Sharpie to add bones, and your phantom pups are transformed into chilling canine skeletons. Decorate your dog, literally. Instead of creating a Halloween masterpiece in your dog's image, why not turn your dog herself into a decorative Halloween masterpiece with a little non-toxic pet-safe paint? Brent Anderson's dog, Nixie, is known around the internet as the original skeleton dog. After a picture of the German Shepherd sporting some spooky makeup went viral thanks to Reddit a few years ago, Brynn painted her first design on Nixie in just 15 minutes using organic non-toxic makeup, and she suggests that decorating a dog in such a way can be a fun way for well-trained dogs who aren't into costumes to participate in Halloween dress-up. Over the years, the duo's designs have gotten increasingly complex, and Nixie usually just sleeps while Brynn paints her fur. Brynn says having a solid stay command is key before attempting a project like this, unless you want to be the one wearing the paint. Get them used to it a little bit. Practice painting them with water and a brush to make sure they know the sensation and the practice, she says. Brynn typically brushes Nixie's fur with a liquid makeup that wears off very quickly, but suggests Halloween-loving dog lovers may want to try pet paint, a spray product, for a longer-lasting design and easier application. Abe Geary is the founder of Pet Paint. He says the colorful pet-safe spray paints make for easy Halloween decorating, because users can reapply on stencils to paint their dog's design. It's temporary, Abe says. Essentially, it's a better, safer version of the colored hairspray that you use on your kids or yourself. Abe says it's best to get dogs used to the sound of the spray bottle before attempting to give them Halloween hair. Both he and Brynn stress that, of course, only dogs who are comfortable with being decorated should be. If your dog is up for being painted, a skeleton design or some tiger stripes could help him feel festive at your pup-friendly Halloween bash. Abe adds that decorating your pet with paint is a great way to turn a Halloween accessory, like a bandana or a pair of wings, into a full look without having to go put your pup in a costume. Some dogs like Nixie would much rather wear paint than clothes. Halloween is fun, but a dash of dog makes anything better, and the spookiest night of the year is no exception. So fright isn't fun for all dogs. Some dogs find the constant doorbell ringing and appearance of costumed strangers stressful, and others can't resist bolting through a constantly opening door. If either sounds like your dog, draw the blinds and turn off the porch light on Halloween. If you're attending a human Halloween party without your dog, make sure he feels safe and cozy at home or have a dog sitter before you leave. And maybe give your dog a calming treat so you don't come home to a trick. Last but not least, don't dress up a dog who's uncomfortable or unwilling. They can still participate with a spooky bandana. Next, we'll move on to Dog Dish by Heather Marco. Actress and improviser Lisa Link makes her mark on Hollywood. The drive to Hollywood is often a solitary one for a performer with a car full of boxes and a head full of ideas. For actress Lisa Link, though, the journey from Chicago to Los Angeles was anything but lonely. She definitely had a head full of ideas, but she also had her two rescue dogs, Wrigley and Zoe, along for the ride. They got to go to the Grand Canyon, they got to stay in hotels, we got to do this road trip, she says, known for her appearances on NBC's This Is Us, Modern Family, and the Netflix series Love. Wrigley and Zoe helped Lisa make the major life transition. But years earlier, Lisa helped them transition from rescue dogs to beloved family members. Three is not a crowd. Wrigley, now 14, came first. A shepherd mix who looks like a Carolina dog, he was in Chicago's Anti-Cruelty Society shelter when Lisa came in. When it was time to put him back in his crate, he kind of leaned up against me, she remembers, adding that she knew he was the one. For several years, Wrigley and Lisa were a duo, but one cold February day, Lisa's neighbor found a stray. Since she already had a dog, children, and a baby on the way, he asked Lisa if she was looking for a second dog. And I said, absolutely not, she recalls. He said, I'm trying to take her to the shelters, but they're full. Unable to turn away from a dog in need, Lisa told her neighbor her father was looking to adopt and took Zoe, a golden retriever mix, with the intention of getting the dog healthy and trained before handing her over to her dad. Zoe quickly turned on the charm, however, and earned herself a permanent spot in Lisa's household. She hopped up and laid her head on my stomach, like, is this what we can do? And I just thought, I can't give her away, the actress recalls. Zoe, now 12, proved to not only be a great companion, but a great cast member, too. When Lisa was starring in a play that parodied disaster movies, she realized every disaster movie has an adorable dog, and Zoe got that part. At one point in the piece, she would run from the back of the theater up on the stage and jump through a ring of fire, which was a hula hoop with construction paper on it, Lisa recalls. She was everybody's favorite pet. When the trio relocated to Los Angeles, Lisa continued to cast Zoe and Wrigley in her projects, including the hilarious Dog Moms web series, a send-up of the reality show Dance Moms, and another comedic web series called Dog Therapist, Private Practice. Zoe and Wrigley haven't just inspired Lisa professionally, but in how she spends her personal time, too. She volunteers with LA's Downtown Dog Rescue, an organization that's as dedicated to helping people keep their pets by doing things like building fences or helping them with the cost of a licensing fee, as it is getting pets out of shelters. Lisa is often seen on television, but in her role as a rescue transport volunteer, she's telling a different kind of story through a different medium. On my Instagram stories, you'll see me every once in a while with a beautiful pup who is getting their freedom ride or going to the vet while their family is between homes. There's a pretty awesome scene Wrigley and Zoe would no doubt be proud of. You can now watch Lisa in the third season of Love, now on Netflix. Follow Lisa on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at its link, LINKE, or visit her website, lisalink.com. Next, we'll move on to Why Do Dogs by Melvin Pena. So why do dogs have tears? If you are in tune with your dog's body language or vocalizations, you know that he's almost trying to say something. Dogs don't laugh, but a wagging tail and an eager face seems easy to interpret as joy. Pain and sorrow are a different matter and more difficult to read. As a dog whimpers, whines, and howls, the same thing as human weeping, can dogs cry or even sympathize with us when we're sad? Let's start with the basics. Do dogs have tear ducts? Tear stains, the rust-colored trails leading away from the eyes of a light or white-colored dog, are more than enough proof that dogs do have tear ducts. Tear staining, also known as epiphora, is basically excessive tear production. It happens to darker-coated dogs as well, though it's harder to see. What are dog's tears for if not for crying? There are three kinds of tears, and dogs make use of two, basal and reflexive. Basal tears keep a dog's eyes wet and functioning. They are produced constantly if slowly. Reflexive tears protect the eye and work to flush out debris like dirt, pollen, and other irritants. And dogs cry emotional tears. When we question whether dogs cry, what we're really asking is if they respond to stimuli, physical or emotional, in the same way we do. The third variety is called emotional tears. Our tear ducts make and issue them faster and in great volume than either basal or reflexive tears. Emotional tears are the only ones that canine tears don't produce. A dog's tears are necessary and functional. For the most part, dog vocalizations serve practical purposes and don't accompany tears. Dogs bark or howl when they sense a threat. They whine when they want food, exercise, or attention. Dogs in distress. What about separation anxiety, which involves a wide range of expressions? We've all heard dogs whimper and whine with all the subtlety of an alarm clock the moment their owners are out of sight. That's something like crying. Others let us know how they're feeling by chewing up our favorite pair of shoes or pooping on the carpet. How do we interpret the yips and yelps that accompany sudden injury? People in pain can weep for extended periods of time. Dogs, on the other hand, don't tend to sound out physical pain beyond the moment it happens. The lack of vocal signs is one reason why changes in behavior, energy levels, and feeding habits are more reliable ways to tell when a dog is hurt or sick. Do dogs respond to our tears? Dogs may not cry in the same way or for the same reasons that we do, but there's no doubt that they are in tune with our emotional states. Several years ago, I messed up my knee. I managed to get myself home that night and had an extraordinary experience. The moment I opened my car door, my dog Tina let out a long, strange noise that took me by complete surprise. I had no doubt that she was responding to my pain. In our 9 years together, I never heard her make any sound like it before or again. Dogs may not express grief, sorrow, longing, loss, rage, or joy through their tear ducts, but it doesn't mean that they don't feel as keenly. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.